Turn with me, if you would, this morning to John chapter 8. We'll be looking at verses 12 through verse 20. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Lord, again we pray that you would guide us and open our eyes that we might know you, we might know your word, and Lord, that we might be drawn closer to you by your Spirit as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now talking about a few days after the Feast of Tabernacle. Jesus is now teaching it back in the temple, in the court of the women. It was called the court of the women, or the treasury, because it was there where they had these big pots. It looked like trumpets, more like megaphones, turned on this little spall on the end and opened, and people would put their gifts in them. There were also four great golden lampstands. And these lampstands possibly, again, were so many and so bright that when they were lit every night of the feast, it would light up the skies, and the people in Jerusalem and around Judea could see them, much like what Christ speaks about, the city on a hill that cannot be hid. These people, as they were in the temple at that time also, would dance around and rejoice under those lights at night. And these lights were a picture and a remembrance of God leading Israel out of Egypt by the cloud and the fire. And it followed them at night as a pillar of fire, and in the day, a cloud to hide the sun and the heat and protect them. It is a picture of the Christ in the church, because that cloud and pillar were God in the midst of his people. And so now, as Christ comes back to the temple this morning, he's with these people teaching. We're not told how many people there, but there's a group there, and Jesus speaks to them and says, I am the light of the world. Now, this is a bold statement. It's a great statement. And the scribes and the Pharisees hear it, and no doubt they are angered. When he says, I am, he doesn't just say, I am. He says, I myself am. This is, in the Greek, this has the word ego or ego, which means I, myself. And the word I is also, the subject of the verb is in the verb am. And he says, I myself am, or I am. He's emphasizing the person speaking here. And Jesus here is using the same words that are Greek that were spoken in the Hebrew to Moses, when he said, I am that I am. Yahweh, or Jehovah as we have it. I am that I am. I am the self-existent, self-present God. I need nothing. I am that I am. And now Christ says, and I myself am the light of the world. And I think the first thing he's pointing here, that is, he's talking about salvation. I am the light of the world. I have come to send men, save men of every kindred and tongue and nation and family. Not just the Jews, but on this feast, there would be that very issue brought forth, because there would be many Jews, and then there would be many to a lesser amount, but smaller amounts of Gentiles who are possibly proselytes or Gentiles who were interested in what was going on. And they would be there hearing and seeing all these festive things going on at this feast time. And they speak of Christ. He is the God of the world. He is the light of the world. He is the creator. And again, as we see this, he says, I am the light of the world. And I think he wants us to look back, and especially John, as he brings forth this light in chapter 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But he says, also it was the light. The Word was the light of life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. There was nothing there that you could see, and yet God had created. And then God says, let there be light. And what does light? Light opens up and gives visions of what is truly there. It gives wisdom to the wise. It speaks of salvation and being able to be in the presence of God without having to hide. And so we see again, as we look at this, Christ is drawing a picture for us. As he says, I am the light of the world. If you are a believer, you are walking in that light. If you do not believe, you are walking in darkness. And in Proverbs chapter 4, I think God gives a picture of that. And throughout Proverbs, you see that this language of light and darkness, wisdom. And in verse 19 of chapter 4, he says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So we see in Scripture light is pictured as having life. That means you can see where you're going. It gives understanding. It gives knowledge. But in darkness there is no hope. There is only fear. And simplicity or simpleness. Again, not knowing what is going on. And so Christ says, I am the light of the world. I give light. I save people. And when I save them, it is because I give them the light of the Word of God, of myself. And he says, and that light is the light of men. It is the light of life. As we see in Scripture, God gives us a lesson. That light is that which all men need just to live in the physical world. The plants and all are energized and fed by the light. They have life. And so this is Christ is what he's saying. He that follows me, and again, to follow is to believe. If you are not a follower of Christ, you're not a believer of Christ. Because him alone, in him alone, is their life. And if you have Christ, you have light. You understand the world. You don't stumble, but you look to him and live for him and follow him. And he says, they follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's that promise in this world. If you know Christ, you know the Father. If you know Christ, you have life and life eternal. And again, in that darkness, you do not fear. And now in verse 13, we see the great nemesis of Christ, the Pharisees, come as they want to challenge him before these people. It's as though they are continuing to want to have a trial of him, as we saw last week as they challenged Christ there with the woman. Trying to make him an earthly judge. And now they come to him, and now notice they want to challenge him to show and be able to bring him to court. And so they're kind of having a, what we would say, putting him in the dock. C.S. Lewis has written a book called God in the Dock. And in the English court, the person who is being charged with something sits in the dock. That's what they call it. He's there, and he's in the dock. He's on trial. And what Lewis is doing in his book, he's saying again that what man does is he puts God in the dock. He puts him on trial, where it is God who is the one who tries us. We are the one who belong in the dock. But today, man want to charge God. They want to let God know that they are the ones who are choosing whether he's God there that will judge them, or they judge God. And they said, we'll judge you. And so this is what is literally the picture here of Christ, because he's kind of, it's Christ in the dock here. These men are coming to charge Christ, and they say, you bear record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Now, they're going back, and they're looking at the laws of Moses, and Moses again said in his word that, again, there was a system in the courtroom in which a trial and how a child could be brought forward. In Deuteronomy 19, he says, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sins at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Now they're taking this law and trying to apply it to Christ here in this situation. And so they say, you have said, and now they're saying that you are this. He says, you bear record of yourself. Your record is not true. And that word true probably more means it's not valid. You can't say that you are the light of the world, because you are the one putting yourself forth. Therefore, your testimony is not valid in the court. And now Jesus is going to give them answer. And now Jesus is going to show forth that he does have a right to speak for himself. Because he's going to push the situation, I think, to show you how he is legitimate, and his testimony is of value, and his testimony is necessity for them. Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whence I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Now, what Christ is showing us, Christ is not only a man, he's also God. Now, see, they keep thinking of him as a man. We saw that last week, we've seen it all the way through. When they talk, he's Jesus of Nazareth. His father is Joseph. He's from Galilee. He's no different than we are. How can a man say he's God? He's going to have to prove it, which he has already again gave evidence that he is God by his miracles. But now when Jesus says that he knows where he comes from, he's pointing to the fact that he's more than a mere man. He says, I know from where I've come, and I know who has sent me. That is his Father. Now, look at the situation we're talking about. Who is God? God is the judge and ruler of all things. He's the King of creation. He is the God of creation, and Christ is also the Word by whom all things were made, and without him was not anything made. He is God, one with the Father, equal to the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are God, one God in three persons in unity. And now Christ comes to earth from the Father, but he just doesn't come. He comes with a commission. He's an ambassador. He's an apostle. That's what the word apostle means. Sent with a commission. Now, when an ambassador goes to a foreign country, when we have ambassadors in other countries, when they speak to the leaders of their country, they speak the words of what our government wants them to say. And they are, again, brought as one person, and their word is to be accepted as true. When Christ comes, He comes sent by His Father. And what He says is to be accepted as being true. His words are the words of His Father. Remember, the apostles, they are men, yes, but they have been sent by Christ, who is God. And we are to receive the words of the apostles as though they are the words of God, because God has sent them. Their authority comes from God. Therefore, they're not in a courtroom. They are coming together. They are coming to announce something from their leader, their king, their words, and they're speaking His words. And this is what Christ is saying here. He says, my record is true, for I know, and that word record, remember, means witness. It's true. I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. He says, you judge by the flesh. When you look at something, your criteria is your eyes, your ears, your nose, the environment around you. You are bound by your person, by your nature, which is fallen. You are man, dead in your trespasses and sins, and therefore you have no truth in you. There is no light in you. Doesn't mean, when we say that, we don't mean that the unbeliever doesn't know things about him. He has God's law written in his heart. But his thoughts are not turned toward God's. God is not in his thoughts. He's in darkness while he lives. But he's not alive in Christ. And therefore, again, Christ says, I know where I come. And I do not judge after the flesh, though. He says again, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And now what Christ is saying, he's not saying that he's not a judge, because he's been given all judgment and authority has been given to him. But now, remember, in his first coming, he's sent by the Father to bring the truth, to proclaim the day of Messiah, that he has been sent from God. And he alone is Messiah, second person of the Trinity. He is God come in the flesh. And as we look at those things and how they are measured and weighted, he says, now I come as an ambassador, as an apostle. My words are truth, but I have not come the first time to earth to judge. He's already told us in John when he's talking to Nicodemus. He's proclaimed there that he's come to save the world from their sins. That is, men of every kindred, tongue, and nation, not just the Jews. But he says, I come not to condemn, but to save. That word condemnation means judge. To condemn you for your sins and unbelief. I have not come the first time for that. I will come again. And when I come, I will judge all men on that great last day. But he says, but right now I don't. I've come from my Father, because my Father has sent me to a people whom he has given to me. All that the Father has given to me will come unto me. He says, we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Now Christ comes as an ambassador from his Father to proclaim the day of Messiah, and that those who see the light will come. They will have knowledge and wisdom of him, because the light comes, the Spirit comes to make them alive, that they might believe. And believing, they might have life eternal. Again, that's true light that gives eternal life. But he says, you judge after the flesh. And he says, and yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. In other words, Christ says, my goal right now, my motive, and my duty now is not to judge in a court of law, like in the last day will be a court and it will be final judgment. But if I do judge, it's still right, because I've come from my Father, who is judge. And he says, and I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but my Father, but I and the Father that sent me. God is in the Father's in the Son. And they three are in the Spirit of, again, God is Spirit, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all of God. All have the attributes of God, but all are distinct persons in the one God. There can never be separation within the in concepts of the Godhead. Though Christ laid down the prerogative of working the acts and attributes of God on the earth while he was here as man, because he became man to take the sin of man upon him, to keep the law of God perfectly, that he again could apply that to us. And that was the duty that he had brought upon himself in submitting to the will of the Father to come to earth. But he was never separated. He was always doing the will of the Father as he was here. And all the attributes of God were still his. And so it is, he comes as he is sent by the Father. But when we see him again arrested in the next year of his life, he says, and he delivers himself over to them. The Father sent him. The Father delivers him over, and he delivers himself over, because he's doing the will of the Father in that time when he will be judged. But whatever he does is right. And now notice he says, it is also written in your law. Notice he says, your law. I think he's kind of looking at them and letting them know, you know, the law is God's law, but you have added laws to God's laws that are not God's laws. You've played loose and free with God's law. And so, as is written in your law, that the testimony of two men is true. Now, what he's not saying here is he's talking in the order of a courtroom, I don't believe. They are probably thinking in the courtroom, but he's saying the testimony of two men is true. Even in a courtroom, when you have two men who confess the same thing, they can have there can be an end to the court in what is charged. There can be a verdict. And especially if there's three people. But now when Christ is talking here, they are doubting and saying, you by yourself don't have any say-so. You're just a man. You're just the son of Joseph, a Galilean after even then. And he says, and it is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. And now notice what Christ is saying. And I think he's thinking, I'm the apostle. I'm the one sent with a commission by my Father. I am speaking for the King who testifies of me. And he says again, I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. How has the Father borne witness of him? Remember, Christ says, I am Messiah. He's already said it in John. John the Baptist has testified of Christ and his office and his person. At his baptism, remember, he is a high priest and he's anointing Christ in the baptism to go and do what he does as a high priest in the beginning of his ministry. And what do we hear? We hear a voice from heaven saying, behold, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. John bears witness of him. Also, the miracles that he has done bear witness of him. Just think of all that he has done there. He's healed men in Jerusalem. Remember the lame man he healed. He will do other miracles in Jerusalem. But he's done many, we would say hundreds of miracles already in Galilee. That small party at this wedding, he turns the water into wine. He heals a nobleman's son. But then he heals hundreds on one day, maybe even thousands on one day. And then he feeds 5,000 people. They declare, and Christ says, "These are my signs." So what does Isaiah say? If we go back to the idea, the Old Testament testifies of him. Isaiah said, when Messiah comes, the lame will walk, the blind will see, the deaf will hear. He will even raise men from the grave. So Christ is testified in the Old Testament, which the Jews see as the Word of God testifying. The Father himself testifies. The Son testifies. John has testified. Again, there is no doubt of who he is. And he says, and so my word stands. I am the Son of God, and if you know the Father, you will know me. And so he says, I am the one who bears witness of myself. My Father who sent me bears witness of me also. And so Christ is drawing focus of who he is. Focus. He is truly I am. He is Jehovah, or Yahweh, which is probably the way it's pronounced in the Hebrew. He is whom Moses spoke to at the bush. He is the one John speaks of in his very first chapter when he says, and in the beginning was the Word. Means he was already there in the beginning. He was before the beginning, and it was he who created all things at the beginning and then said, let there be light. So what more do we need? What more did they need? But remember, they were in darkness. Look how darkness was all over Israel. How many people believed Messiah when he came? He had already told us, he came to his own and his own received him not. But to those who believe or who receive him, he gives the privilege, the authority, the ability to call him son, my father. And so we see Christ speaks here. And again, it says, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. I mean, notice the boldness of Christ. Christ doesn't run and hide. He goes forward in the temple. And he speaks boldly to these men who have legal authority. They have already tried to arrest him, and the guards came back empty. They wanted to take him on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacle so they could try him. They want to do it here. But no man lays hands. Why is it? It says, for his hour was not yet come. God the Father had laid out a plan for what the Son would do. He would send his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them under the law. He would control all things were in his hand. And no one could touch him until that appointed time, when God would say, okay, now is the day of judgment. Now is the day I will give him to you for those he has come to save. And he will lay down his life for them. He will give himself to them, that he might bring forth salvation and the light. And this is the light that's coming to you, Christ. If you know Jesus Christ, and you believe that Christ is the Son of God, one with the Father and the Spirit, one who has given you salvation and light to understand the things of God and to believe them, truly he is the light of the world. And as we look around our world, how many people are Christian? The Christian church is still the largest church in the world. I'm not saying everybody in it are Christians, just like not everybody in Israel were saved. We're always talking about the remnant. But the remnant comes and goes. It goes from a remnant to a great people and back to a remnant throughout the whole of the Old Testament. When we think there are Christians in China, there are estimated 30 million Christians in China. We only have 330 million people to make up all the people in America. How about India? And you look around and you see the Christians in the Arab lands who are literally dying every day for the name of Christ. Christ says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. See, we struggle with the old man. We want to see things and interpret them in the way we want to, that we would like to do it. But God says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not stand. And the picture there is not Satan is trying to destroy. It's we are going forward as an army. I will build my church. And as I'm building my church, we will attack the walls of the kingdom of darkness. And they will not prevail against us. God has given all authority to Christ. And so it is we can go forth and pray and proclaim the gospel, because He is the light of the world. Lord, we do thank You for Christ. We thank You for His ministry. We thank You that You have sent Him into the world, and that His speaking, let there be light, Lord, has come to each of those who trust in Him. We have received the light of Christ, the light of life. And Lord, we have life within in Christ, because we are in Him who is the light. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' holy name, amen.